Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God. The fact is true, I do wear a lot of hats, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Amen. There's nothing in the world that's greater than to be spent for the kingdom of God. There's nothing. I wouldn't pursue a career this hard. I wouldn't pursue a hobby this hard. To spend and be spent in the kingdom of God is a great honor. It's a great honor. So I give honor to Pastor Chandler, my wife, and my daughter who are here with me today, and all this church family. I love being at home, and there's no place like home. If I had red slippers, I'd click my heels together, but I don't, so praise God. Amen. Amen. If you have any of your Bibles, I'm going to read one passage of Scripture, and then we're going to move on into the Word of God. I'm not going to spend a whole long time today. I really just have one point that I'm going to hit from about a dozen different angles, but it's really the same point over and over. So as long as you're okay with, amen, third grade preaching, then that will be fine today. Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me, Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 9. To the ladies that are here from the Bible study we teach on Thursdays, you got a portion of this last Thursday, so we're going to just talk a little bit about it, but amen. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." We're going to harvest everything you've planted, everything you've invested, every dollar, every tear, every heartache, every sorrow, every loved one that's gone before you, every year, parents, you spent with your babies out in the world doing God knows what, and you spent hours at night praying. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I'm going to preach a very simple title to you today. Don't quit. Don't quit. Amen. If you put your Bibles down and lift your hands all over this house, let's ask God to help us today. God, I'm in desperate need of your help today. I'm asking you, God, to bless us today. Take a coal from off the altar, God, and touch my lips, God, today. I need your help, God. Help us today reach, Lord God, somebody's heart who's on the edge of forever, God, and they're considering quitting. God, I want to take this opportunity today to slow down and give you praise and give you glory and honor. God, I relinquish control to you one more time, and I'm asking you, God, to help us today. God, let the Spirit of God help us in a powerful way. Amen. If you believe that, say in Jesus' name and clap your hands as you're seated this afternoon. Amen. I came across a story in preparation for Bible study, amen, last Thursday. The Shaskys and I teach a wonderful Bible study to a great group of ladies, amen, and they're hungry, and it challenges me. Because sometimes I feel like they're hungrier for God than I am. They just want so much of it, and I'm so glad that they're here. Amen. And we're going to help them, and they're going to help me, and we're going to go on, and we're going to see lives changed. Amen. But in preparation for that Bible study, I come across a story about a woman named Florence Chadwick. In 1952, Florence Chadwick, amen, was the first woman to swim across the English Channel. It's 23 miles across the English Channel from England to France. Something got a hold of her, and she thought, I can do 3 miles more. And so she decided she wanted to swim from the California coastline to Catalina Island, which is 26 miles. Unlike the English Channel, the distance between California and Catalina is much different. The currents are much stronger, and the fauna, the wildlife that's present is much more scary in the form of sharks and many other things. And there's a lot to be trepidatious about. There's a lot to be fearful of crossing from California to Catalina Island. There's a large, deep trench that separates them in deep, cold water. I think the average temperature of the Pacific Ocean year-round, even in a hot California summer, is a mere 54 to 56 degrees. It's cold. So Florence gets this crazy idea once she swam the English Channel that she was invincible and that she could, in fact, swim the distance between Catalina Island and California. During her swim, she had a team that traveled with her in a boat to help keep an eye out for those sharks and to prepare to be prepared to assist if she would get a cramp or an injury or fatigue. And they also helped to keep her on path. When you're in the wide open ocean, it's hard to swim in a straight line. And so this boat is following beside her, and she swims literally for 15 hours straight. Fatigue had begun to take over her body and her mind. The exhausting idea of finishing the swim against the currents of the ocean. That was hard enough, but a thick fog began to roll across the water. And the fog was so thick that there were times she couldn't even see the boat that was supposed to be helping her along the way. It clouded her vision. Not long after, it clouded her confidence. Her mother happened to be in that boat at the time that Florence relayed to her team that she didn't think she could compete the swim. She, after the point where she notified the boat, she still swam for another complete hour. 16 hours in of fatigue and not seeing shore because of the fog. Her desperation turned into destruction. She sat on that boat after giving up, teetering and tottering against the waves. And she discovered if she would have just continued for less than a mile, she would have reached the beach at Catalina Island. Many people quit a dream on the brink of its realization. It's quiet in here today because I feel very strongly that this is where many of us exist in our day-to-day lives. It's when the challenges of life feel the most daunting that we're often closer to our destination than we ourselves even feel ourselves to be. We let the clouds and the fog of this world keep us from seeing our destination and can keep us from seeing just how close we really are. But Galatians tells us that let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary." There's that word again, weary. "They shall walk and not faint." I want to preach today to weary legs and weary spirits. I want to preach to weary minds and weary hearts. Amen. Who have prayed what they feel like will be their last prayer on a specific subject, whether that be a finance need or a loved one need or a sickness in a house or a cross-country need for a family member who's lost in a situation where they can't see their way out. And then we've prayed all the prayers we think we can pray. I want to preach to that weary soul today. I'm not going to preach probably to everyone, and I'm okay with that, but I want to preach to weary legs, and I want to preach to feeble knees that are clacking together in fear that you'll never see through the fog. I want to preach to you today. So when I was growing up, I was introduced to the cruelties of neighborhood children when it came to playing games. Like many of you, maybe I was picked last in softball or football, basketball or tag. If I became angry or frustrated in a game, I decided to quit the game. I would hear things like, "Quitter, quitter, go home today. We don't want you anyway." And I can tell you 100% that that does something to a mind of a young child. I remember being on a basketball team once at a park, and it was late, and they would turn the lights on for us. And I always ended up with the guys that couldn't play. Always. But there was something inside of me where I'm going to win. And this This kid would run up and down the court all by myself. If I had to score every basket on my own, I was going to win, Brother Buck. There's something inside of us that when we hit that second speed, we grab the next gear, and there's something when you make in the resolve of your mind and the resolve of your spirit, I don't care how many times I get punched in the face, I'm going to keep getting up because round 15 is coming. There's a day coming. We just sang about Zion. There's a day coming where no more sorrow is going to be here. No more pain is going to be here. There's three gates in the east and three gates in the west and three gates in the north and three gates in the south and gates of pearl and streets of gold and 12 foundations of every precious stone. I'm looking forward to the day where I don't have to mess with this world no more. Don't quit. Don't quit. Weary legs and feeble knees today, don't quit. Usually when I would get made fun of or picked last or on the losing team, it would flip a switch in me that no matter what would happen, I wanted to win. I've tried to encourage my daughter not to quit, to finish whatever she starts. We've had good days with that, and we've had bad days with that. And remember when she ran track, and she would see a kid get out in front of her, maybe five or six lanes wide, she'd see a kid get out in front of her, you could just see her deflate. And we had to work on running through the end line. Even if it looks bad, we're going to make it. Even if it don't look right, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. So weary legs and feeble knees, don't quit today. Now that I'm somewhat older and perhaps a bit wiser, I've learned that there are times when it might be okay to quit. We find that there are times we're headed in the wrong direction. The last thing we need is to get foolish pride to keep us headed down the wrong road. But when we find that we're involved in something that's not in accordance to the will of God in our lives, then it's okay to quit. I'm not saying keep going down the road if that's the way you're headed. But I am saying that there needs to be a resolve in each of us. A resolve. There are times that you may think that you have a right to quit. You don't. You might grow weary in the work or feel unappreciated by others, your bosses or professors or teachers. You think you have a right. You don't. We feel we're treated unjustly. You still don't. You don't have a right to quit. To quit means to give up, to relinquish, to put aside, to discontinue, to cease to perform. It is sad to think of quitting in any situation. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and about mental toughness. I spend a lot of time by myself in the truck at work, and I get to listen to these guys just absolutely crush my mindset of mental toughness and listening to how certain Navy SEALs have been through the BUDS training program and what they call Hell Week, and they keep them up for 6 days straight with maybe 40 minutes of sleep a day, and they keep them close to hypothermic, but they still have to function as a team. And I'm not a Navy SEAL, praise God. I don't know that I have it in me to do that, but to hear that there are mental toughnesses that we develop in the natural, that men can push and drive beyond the limits that they thought they had. I remember hearing a podcast recently about a man who runs ultra marathons, 100 plus miles at a time. I didn't know the human body could do such a thing. He talked about when he first started, his very first day, he was 6'1" and 304 pounds. And he decided he was going to run to lose weight. So he ran. He thought, I could do 4 miles. That's what I did when I was in high school. And he ran a quarter of a mile, went home and drank a chocolate shake. Amen. See, you're laughing, but you feel this guy's spirit, don't you? Yeah. You know what he did the next day? He got up and he ran 3/4 of a mile and drank a chocolate shake. Amen. The day after that, he ran a mile and a tenth. And he didn't drink a chocolate shake. There's a mental toughness of not quitting. His longest race in 24-hour period was a race in the across the Death Valley area. It was 208 miles he ran in 24 hours. This is an amazing, amazing man. He talks about when he ran his first ultra was 100 miles. And he gets to the 70-mile mark and his body is broken. His feet are destroyed. He literally can't do anything at this point but sit in a chair. And then he thought, well, I've got to make it that last 30 miles to qualify, amen, for this other race that he wanted to get into. And he had to make 100 miles in 24 hours. And so he was at 12 hours in. He had already run 70 miles. And he sat in that chair and ate Ritz crackers and drank electrolytes, unable to move. His wife helped him get out of that chair. His wife had to help him get up physically out of the chair. And he got on the track and walked a lap. And then he jogged a lap. And then something took place in the mind where he flipped the switch and finished the other 30 miles. And he ran 101 miles in 18 hours. And he called the race director and said, look, I made it 101 miles. And the director said, I didn't ask you to run 100 miles. I asked you to see how much you could do in 24 hours. And then we find that there are those that have mental toughnesses about not quitting that we don't possess. And all of this translates into the spiritual. All of this translates into our lives and our spirits as we go to work every day and as we pray for our loved ones every day and as we search for ministries every day and as we look to save those that are around us every day and we want to see the person sitting on the line next to us whose husband is mean and whose wife has done left and we want to help that person, but we feel like we can't. We feel weary in our own lives. How can I possibly invest into the life of another? Number one is don't quit in prayer. I want you to consider Abraham and Lot in Genesis 18, verses 23 through 33. We won't take the time to read it. I'm going to summarize the story for time. But Abraham and Lot had lived close enough for long enough. And they decided to part ways. And Lot goes towards the plain of Jordan. And then we see him pitching his tent towards Sodom. And then it wasn't long before he and his family were living in the midst of the wickedness of the city. And God was ready to destroy the cities because of their grievous sin. The Bible talks about Abraham, in verse 23, began to intercede for Lot. He asked God, God, if I find 50, would you spare the city where my loved ones live? And God relents and says, yes, Abraham, if you can find 50, I'll save it. And then to 45, God, if I find 45, would you save it? Yeah, I'll save it for 45 righteous. And then he begins to expound upon how wicked the city really is. And Abraham begins this bargaining process with God. And every time he bargains with God, God changes his mind. Yeah, would you do 40? Yeah, I'll do 40. If you do 30, yeah, I'll do 30. Would you do 20 and then to 10? Yeah, I'll do 10. And then at that point, Abraham quit praying. Abraham stops praying. God destroyed Sodom at the heels of a fleeing family, loved ones that barely made it out alive because Abraham ceased to pray. Abraham ceased to pray on the midnight hour of loved ones being lost. Why didn't he continue to intercede for Lot? Why? Why would Abraham have quit? Why would he have quit praying so soon? Because even in the midst of God answering him, Abraham still decided to quit. Even in the middle of God answering prayer, we think that it takes hard times or our house has to burn down or we lose our job or we lose a loved one. Amen. And those things, those are what we talk about, dark times. Abraham is entering the throne room of God on a routine basis, hearing from heaven in a very specific way. And yet Abraham still ceases to pray. Have we ever given up on God? And I don't mean by backsliding. I'm just saying giving up on believing that God can still continue to answer prayer. I believe that God could have spared the wicked city of Sodom if Abraham had gone to his knees just one more time to persuade God. We have that power to prevail upon the throne room. We have the anointing, the authority with our father, amen, our daddy. I love to give my daughter good things, and sometimes she pushes the envelope with me. Sometimes she takes it right to the ragged edge of how much my nerves can handle. Let me tell you something, though. Generally, she gets it anyway. She's bargained with me and bargained with me and bargained with me. Let me tell you a funny story about my daughter. I love you, baby. I'm going to tell you this story, okay? And after this, we're going to go to lunch, and you're going to forget all about this. So Grace was, I had told her not to do something, and she continued to do it anyway. And I said, the next time you do it, you're going to get a whipping. I believe in whippings in my house. You may not believe in your house. That's fine. The Bible says it. Sorry, it's what the Bible says. Amen. We believe in whippings in our house. And I figured I'd get a bigger amen than that. Hallelujah. That's another Bible study. Praise God. Man, so I had contrived that if she had done what she was going to do one more time, she was going to get a whipping. So she conceded in her mind to continue her actions and pay the consequences of those actions. So the process was I would take her to her bedroom and I would stand her in front of me and we would always talk about what had gone wrong. And where the breakdown was, and this is all pre-whipping, so we're building up psychologically to the whipping. And we talk about the wrong that had occurred, and that her daddy did not want to whip her, but she left me no choice. And tears streaming down her face, and she said, Daddy, hold on a minute, I gotta ask you a question. Now, she's about 4 at this point. And I said, okay, you can ask a question. Do you believe in forgiveness? Yes, I do. This is not one of those situations. And she said, Daddy, but I forgive you. Guess who did not get a whipping that day? Now, that's funny. That's satire. We find that humorous. But such is our relationship with God. Father, I'm desperately needing your forgiveness. I desperately need for you to touch my loved ones in Sodom today. God, if I can find just 10 righteous, if I can find just a few, would you change your mind? Would you please not bring a divorce to that son of mine? Would you please not bring those days of hard times to that daughter of mine or my sister, my brother? God, would you spare my mom just one more bad marriage if I continue to pray? And yet Abraham ceases to pray. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Abraham ceases to pray while God is in the midst of answering his prayers. Weary legs and feeble knees. Don't quit today. Number 2, after we cease in our pursuit of God. We need to persevere in our pursuit of God. To persist in a state of enterprise or undertaking in spite of influences, opposition, and discouragement. That is a pursuit. Pursue means to persist in that state of undertaking despite influences, opposition, or discouragement. That means that even though you may get things that are rough and the world may be against you, please, 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 for the love of your loved ones, the love of your family, don't quit. Paul said that if God be for us, who can be against us? Peter quit also in his pursuit of God way too soon. He didn't persevere in his service for God. I'll prove it to you. John 21, verse 3. This is after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. We read here, Peter, having a bad day, says to them, I go a-fishing. God's already given them the command that I'm going to fill you with the Spirit of God. And he talked about that in John 20, 21. Pull that for me, please, Tristan. This is Jesus' words. As Jesus said to them, peace be unto you as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. He gave Peter a position of authority and ministry, but yet go back to 21, please. Even after Jesus said, I'm going to send you, Peter says, I go fishing. In the middle of his pursuit of God, Peter said, I'm going back to the nets I know. I'd rather go back to the nets that I know and the direction that it leads than to give my life in a way that I don't understand, than to head down a road I've never been before. Peter decided it was time to go back fishing. Even though he had been called from his fishing boat to follow Jesus, and Jesus uses this opportunity, amen, as a chance in the following in verse 21. Go to 5 and 6 for me, Tristan. God uses the chance to show him he's no longer a fisherman of fish, but a fisherman of men. Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? After they'd been fishing all night, he answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Pursue after God. Pursue after God. You may not be able to go back to being a fisherman of fish, but God has given each of us a call. God has given each of us a drawing out of the world that we came out of, and there is no going back to fishing, Peter. There is no going back to casting nets and mending nets in the middle of the night. Weary legs, feeble knees, don't quit. Don't quit. There's nothing for you on the edge of that ocean. There's nothing for us. Jesus went to teaching Peter that he called him to be a fisherman and that he couldn't go back. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit in your prayer. Don't quit in your pursuit. But most of all, this is where I'll close. Don't quit in love. Don't quit in a love for the lost. Loving that lost loved one is hard. Loving that lost coworker can be hard. Loving that lost drug addict that lives across the street can be hard. I'm thankful that the Lord didn't give up on me and that I had good Christian people that didn't quit loving me. When I come to this, I was a very distraught and troubled little boy. I was a mess. I didn't know what love was like. I didn't know the warmth of an embrace and somebody telling me, you're going to make it. John 13, 34 and 35 says this. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But this shall all men know, that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Jesus being our example, especially in love, as I have loved you, in receiving and in forgiving. Romans says, wherefore ye Or wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any other, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Love. Weary legs and feeble knees, don't quit loving today. We need each other. We're never going to make it on our own. Don't quit loving one another. Galatians chapter 6, which we read verse 9 at the beginning, verse number 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Don't quit loving God's word. Don't quit loving God's word. Psalm 119 and 130, the love of God gives, or the love of God's word gives us light. It says, the entrance of the word, thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Loving God's word gives us, it cleanses us when it's applied. Verse 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. The word preserves and it protects. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It strengthens us. The word strengthens us. Psalm 119, 28 says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. It brings us peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, verse 165, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law. Don't quit. Someone once said, if Columbus had turned back, no one would have blamed him, but no one would have remembered him either. The margin between success and failure is often determined by the decision not to quit. Success and failure are relative terms. What might be termed a failure by the world's standards might be a glowing success in God's eyes. Don't quit praying. Don't quit serving. Don't quit pursuing. And for the love of God to help us, don't quit loving. I'm imploring you today. I feel like any more emphatic that I wish somebody would just grasp it in their heart. I cannot quit. Maybe not, 10 years ago, maybe it was an option for me. But as for today, I cannot quit. I cannot quit. 2 months after Florence Chadwick's failed attempt to swim to Catalina Island, she tried to swim once more. Just as the second time as the first, the fog rolled in mid-swim. But this time she had a mental image of the shoreline in her mind as she pushed herself along. She could see what she couldn't see because she knew that mentally she couldn't quit. Not only did she succeed, but Chadwick ended up making the swim an additional 2 times. And for good measure, Chadwick became the only woman to go back to the English Channel and swim it in the other direction. Not to mention, she also did so in record times, which stand for more than 40 years. I'm encouraging you, if you'll stand with me today, I'm encouraging you that if the fog of life has rolled in, you might just be a couple hundred yards from victory. If you can get your mind under control and settle it on the Word of God and the love of God, I implore you, make that decision to not quit. Weary legs and feeble knees, the pursuit is worth it. Don't quit. Don't quit. Would you lift your hands unto God today? Amen. Would you recommit your resolve? Would you recommit your heart to not quit today? Would you look at your life? Would you take example of your heart and take a sample of it? Make sure, you know, you biopsy it like you would a cancer. Make sure that this mindset of quitting is not going to grow anymore. I'm not going to allow it, Lord Jesus, to take over my mind. I'm not going to allow it to take over my heart. I want to keep my heart right with you today, God, because there's things I need you to do that I can't do on my own, God. I'm desperate for your need today, God. I'm desperate for your hand in my life. I can't make it without you. Would you lift up your voice today? God, we love you. God, we're desperate for you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I don't want to quit. I don't want to quit today, God. I need you, Lord Jesus. I need you today, God. I need you today, God.
Listen, I want to take a moment right now. I don't want to rush out of here today. I know we're a little longer than normal right now. But many times the reason that we choose to quit is because of what's behind us pulling us that direction. Many times our past is what, you know, the children of Israel going through the promised land, and when they faced a little bit of adversity, you see them begin to glamorize what was behind them. Why don't we go back to Egypt when we had plenty to eat? Why don't we go back to Egypt when we had melons and we had all this? They didn't talk about the slavery they were involved in. It was a glamorization of the past. And many times in our walk with God, our decision to quit, our decision to turn around has to do with us misremembering where we came from. Not really understanding the grip that sin had on us, or not understanding the grip that Satan had on us. I'm telling somebody here today, you've made some steps in the right direction, but there's something tugging back at you. I've come to encourage somebody here today. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, forgetting those things which are behind, leaving them alone, not even beginning to discuss them, forgetting those things that are behind, what's next? I press. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be the simplest thing you've ever done, but I press. I know I'm going to face adversity, and it may not come tomorrow morning, but I'm going to press. I know I don't have everything figured out, but I'm going to press. I'm encouraging somebody in this room today with feeble knees. They've walked in here today with a weary spirit, prayers that have not been answered as of today, situations that have not been fixed as of this morning. You may feel weary in your spirit today, but somebody needs to feel like Paul, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm going to press. Would somebody raise your hands right now? They're getting ready to sing. I want you to take a little altar call right by yourself right now, all by yourself in your pew as they begin to sing. I want somebody to begin to press. I want somebody to be able to look up ahead and see that shoreline. I press towards the mark. I press toward where God's trying to get me to go. Forgetting everything I've gone through, forgetting everything that's pulling me back, I'm going to press. Come on, somebody in this room right now. Just you and Jesus. Don't worry about anybody else right now. Just hands lifted, eyes closed. God, I'm going to press. I don't know the answer, but I'm pressing. I don't know the fix, but I'm pressing. God, I need you to work in my life right now. I need you to work in my family right now. I need you to work in my finances right now. Come on, I press. I press. Somebody press into the Spirit right now. Somebody press into victory right now. Come on, somebody reach into where God wants you to go. Don't quit. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark. Forgetting those in my life that say I can't do it. Forgetting those in my life that would say it's not possible. With men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He deals in the impossible. That's his forte. That's his strength, is the impossible. In fact, he said, in our weakness, That's when we're made strong. When we don't have all the answers, that's when he comes in. When that lady's in the water and she's trying to swim, nobody in that boat can reach out and give her stamina. Nobody can give her breath in her lungs. But we serve a God in the spiritual side that when we're swimming against the tide and we're swimming against unanswered prayers, he can infuse us with faith. He can infuse us with air in our lungs spiritually. He can make a way for you and for me today, but you cannot quit. Brother Justin, thank you so much for encouraging us today, for just speaking life into somebody's situation, that it's not over. It's not over. It doesn't matter how it looks to you. Don't quit. Don't quit. Somebody remember this week. Press. Forget it all behind you and press. Don't quit. Push through in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I want to pray one more prayer before we leave today. And that's for the families that are dealing with loss. We prayed already this morning before we started service, but I think it would be appropriate. I know, Sister Josie, you've already gone through the funeral for your sister. The Foxes are getting ready to go through that process today and tomorrow. The Moonies are getting ready to do the same in the next few days. Galatians 6 says, bear you one another's burdens. You might say, it's not my loss. No, but you weep with those that weep. And you rejoice with those that rejoice. So as a body of believers, we provide strength to those in our church that need strength. We pray for encouragement for those that need encouragement. So would you cover these families with prayer right now? If you're next to them and your family, feel free. Just gather around each other and begin to pray that God would give peace today and tomorrow and the coming days with the loss. Would you help me? God, we come to you today. Lord, we're dealing with loss in our families. We're dealing with separation, God, in the human form. It's hard. The separation aspect is not one that we understand. But God, we don't sorrow like the world sorrows. We don't weep as the world weeps. Why? Because God, we know that we do have a hope beyond this life. And I pray as these families are dealing with grief and separation today and tomorrow and the next few days and weeks, God, I pray that you would bring peace. Lord God, that does pass our understanding. We don't have to know why, but just provide peace in the middle of the storm right now. God, bring comfort, God, that only your Spirit can bring. You said the Holy Ghost would be the rest, that you would cause the weary to rest. I pray that you, by your Spirit, would give them strength this week. Lift them up and encourage them and comfort them. Wrap your arms around them, God. Minister to them in the next few coming weeks, God, as they deal with this, and help us to do the same. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory. We plead your blood over their lives and their families in Jesus' name.